Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. How are you, Bob? What's up?
Oh, I'm doing wonderfully, sweetie. You know, still redecorating and so on and so forth. I'm just doing wonderfully, enjoying the weather in between, and I'm doing everything at my own pace because I'm expecting guests to be coming from out of town in about a week or so. Apart from that, everything is wonderful. Well, even that's wonderful. Doing great, sweetie. How about you?
I'm doing well. I, you know, really can't complain. This is a, you know, special week for me. In a couple of days or two, it is the anniversary.
Oh, yes, your anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh, happy anniversary, daughter. Happy anniversary to you and Kyle. Have a wonderful one.
Oh, I know you didn't shout out his name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
Anyway,
I didn't know it was a secret.
No, I'm just joking. He's been on the podcast before. No. So
did your husband know about him? Okay. Happy anniversary, daughter. Happy anniversary to you and Kyle.
Thank you, Ma. That's really sweet.
Any special plans that you want to share?
Well, we are going on a cruise next month. So we'll be going to Mexico, Jamaica, Cayman Islands. So I'm looking forward to that. It's my first cruise, first cruise. So that'll be cool. And, you know, we're going to grab some dinner, nice little place, you know, not too far this weekend, probably on Friday. So, yeah.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Great. Well, enjoy your wonderful weekend. Like I said, and congratulations on, you know, however many years this is that you've been married.
It's 4 years.
Okay. Oh, happy fourth anniversary. Good for you.
Well, thank you.
Many more to come. Period.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ma. That's very sweet. Yes. All right. Let's let everybody know what we are sipping on today. And today we have some good old whiskey. We have a Guidance whiskey, which we've had before from Miss Fawn Weaver, who is making waves in the whiskey industry, Mom. So,
okay. All righty. So, here's to long life and prosperity and health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Salud. Okay, whiskey always gets me. All righty, Ma. So before we begin with the regular pop culture, we have to discuss the Better Call Saul finale. To me, it was excellent. It was satisfying. There was a little twist at the end, but nothing too crazy. They stayed true to themselves, and I felt as though there was some redemption. I love the cameos, Walter White, Mike, Marie, Chuck, and I love the theme about regrets that permeated throughout the episode. What did you think, Mom?
Oh, I felt similarly to you. I felt like the writers were, you know, once again, on top of their game. I like the fact that it ended and Saul, AKA Jimmy McGill, you know, I like the fact that he ended up where he should have been, in jail. And because sometimes these shows are so unrealistic, you know, they have them floating away in the sunset, even though they've done everything illegal and immoral known to mankind, you know, they managed to escape. I'm glad that didn't happen. I'm glad he was sorry. You know, I'm glad he showed remorse. I'm glad that Kim was somehow back in his life to whatever extent, you know, that was going to be. I'm glad he was kind to her in the end. And I'm glad he, like I said, ended up in jail. And I love that the writers were brave enough to keep it honest, you know. And so I loved it. I just loved it. I think it was one of the best series I think I've ever seen. Really, really good.
I thought it was awesome. And I hope that Well, there's many actors in here that deserve awards and obviously nominations, but
the cast was just too smoking. One was just better than the other. Well, you know, they had one excellent performance after another excellent performance.
I really wanted to give a shout out to Rhea Seehorn because Rhea Seehorn was not nominated for, you know, throughout the season until now, throughout the seasons on the show. And I think that she's finally getting the recognition that she deserves because the first time I saw her, she was on that sitcom Whitney.
Whitney Cummings. I have a vague recollection of that. Yes.
And
about 5 episodes.
Right. And no disrespect to that series, but you know, you didn't really have to do serious hardcore acting.
You really could only get the dust off of a gold mine in that show. You know, you really didn't get the best of the actors in that show just because of the nature of the show. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, guys, if you haven't seen Better Call Saul, I don't know what planet you're on. Yes.
Just them watch it.
It's well worth it. Just like binge a couple of, you know, weekend, whatever you want to do. I highly, highly recommend it. Top shelf 10+ for Better Call Saul. And the actors. And we see the actors Bob Odenkirk and Giancarlo Esposito are going to be back next year, 2023, with different series. I don't think it has anything to do with the Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, but they're going to be on AMC. So it'll be good to see them because they're excellent.
So good. Yeah, so good for both of them. Yeah, so good for Giancarlo. And he's been out here for a minute. And I think he's been underappreciated to a great extent.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is just immensely talented. And Bob Odenkirk, you did your thing. You was just one of the best con men ever. So good continued good luck and good fortune to both of them.
Okay, so let's move into... definitely to pop culture, which Tiffany Haddish is featured on the cover of the Cosmopolitan magazine. And she spoke about a slew of things. You know, everything that she said was very positive, working towards generational wealth and buying land and how she lived off $500 a month while she was filming the Carmichael show. Not that she was getting that salary, but she was budgeting to pay off a house that she purchased.
She wanted to aggressively pay off this house. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But something else came up, her jokes, checking in with celebrities before she makes the joke. So she said that she spoke to Usher and she said to Usher, "I got this joke. I curse you out with joy. I hope that you spread it. I hope you spread it like Usher spreads herpes." So what do you think of that? Tiffany Haddish checked in with Usher before she made that joke about herpes. What would be your thoughts, Ma, if you were Usher or whomever?
Okay, well, I just, obviously I have to do this vicariously since I'm not Usher, but I would be offended.
Okay.
I would be offended because what it's saying about me, true or not, deservedly or not, I would be offended because it's saying to me, I don't think he purposely spread herpes. Mm-hmm. I think he was just maybe, you know, irresponsible.
And if it's true, we don't know.
Yeah, even if it is true, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We cannot, you know, verify, you know, the veracity of anything that she's saying. We don't really know. But we do know that it's not nice and it's not a good look. It's not a kind thing to say. It's not a considerate thing to say. And it is an offensive thing to say. And it is a humiliating thing to say. It is an embarrassing thing to say. It is a thing, it's what is called an opprobrium, which is something that would cause you shame, okay? It's something that you do not want to recall and bring up in your life. Whether it's true or not, that it's attached to him is something that he can only feel ashamed about. So if I'm Usher, I'm not feeling good. I'm not laughing.
Let me tell you how he responded.
Yeah.
Your ass is crazy. She said, yeah, well, there's a rumor out there saying you got herpes. I don't know if you do or don't, but that ish is funny. And he agreed. He okayed her to tell the joke. Do you think comedians should check in with celebrities before they make a particular joke?
No.
No?
No. Not, don't even waste your time. Nope. It's going to change the way that they, it's going to change the level of freedom. It's going to change the level of creativity. And also this, you know what, sometimes people will say, okay, because they want to be seen as a person who can laugh at themselves. They want to seem to be self-deprecating, you know, but everyone doesn't really feel that way. It's just like if you say to a fat person, if you start making a bunch of fat jokes, a fat person may laugh and so on and so forth, but deep down, they don't think it's funny because they're fat. Do you understand? Okay. They may just not want to be the one who appears to be hypersensitive or you know, somehow easy to ruffle, or they don't want to be the one to stand up. It's like a lot of people hear things that they don't think, you know, things that they know are offensive, but they don't want to be the one to step up and say anything. They'll just go along. They'll just be quiet because everyone else went along with it. You understand? So to me, that's basically a waste of time, because two things can happen. The person can answer you in a disingenuous way. And also, he may not have wanted to be seen as a person that is his Achilles heel, a person who is very sensitive about certain things, and that would be like his weakness. Oh boy, if you want to get Usher, just make jokes about him spreading herpes, blah, 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 blah. You know, you know, so he may not want to be seen in that light, so he would just say, yeah, okay, and laugh at it too. You never know. So to me, that's just a big waste of time. To me, that whole thing of checking in with people is basically a waste of time, because you don't know if you're going to get a genuine response. And even if you do, how is that going to impact all your work?
All right. So I don't, it's not even a good idea at all. I understand where she's coming from. I know, like, the thing is that once you become like Tiffany Haddish is, you are a celebrity and you're friends with these people. And so I understand where she's coming from, where she wants to check in with them. I get that part. I also think that you kind of have to use your personal judgment, you know, and common sense, and maybe certain things.
It's unrealistic. You don't want to say. Listen, another thing, Pay. Listen. Mm-hmm. Are you going to check in with everybody? Aren't you going to have some spontaneity? Aren't you going to make jokes sometime?
Yeah.
You know, maybe I didn't see Joe Blow before I decided to make this joke, but it's funny and I want to tell it now. And I think it's appropriate to tell now. So you're going to check in with every person?
Well, that's what Chris Rock did. He went off, you know, script.
Okay. All right. What do you mean by that?
Huh? He went off script when he resumed the Oscars. That joke
If you go off script, somebody's gonna come and smack you in the face.
I don't know. Somebody might. They shouldn't.
Well, then you know what? Keep on down that rabbit hole, and there will be no comedians. Okay, keep on down that rabbit hole. All right. You know, you need to do A, you need to do B, you need to do C, I'm getting like Dave Chappelle now. Where's the artist? Where's the creativity? You keep on going down that rabbit hole, and then you have no more comedians.
That's true. Everybody is very sensitive.
Okay.
I'm sensitive myself, so I get it.
Here we go. If you don't hit me, I won't hit you. Other than that, we good. Okay. Where Will went off script. He's the one who went off script. Okay?
Right.
You know, and where he went off script was he physically assaulted Chris. All right. Chris didn't assault him physically. He could have cussed Chris out or said something back. Why is it that you use some words and then I use violence?
Well, that's how I feel. If you say something to me, that's rude. And let me curse you out.
I don't need to. You cuss each other out. Right. I don't have to, you know, like you step on my toes so I can shoot you. I don't think so. Right. No. Right. No, you know. So, okay. But okay. All right. Sweetie. Yeah, I got you.
All right. All right, so let's
Tiffany, you know, she's Tiffany, that's my girl now, but you know she's offbeat anyway, so let's go ahead.
Well, yeah. So Serena Williams sat down with Selena Gomez on Selena Gomez's wellness platform, Wondermind, and discussed how Williams has serious boundaries when it comes to mental fitness and taking some time for herself. The article also referenced the early comments this month to Vogue that many deemed controversial. And so Serena Williams said, the decision to evolve from tennis had not been easy to come to terms with, and she had struggled to even speak about it with her parents or her husband. Believe me, I never wanted to have to choose between tennis and a family. I don't think it's fair if I were a guy. I wouldn't be writing this because I'd be out there playing and winning while my wife was doing the physical labor of expanding our family. So I'm gonna go first, Ma. I think that I love Serena Williams. I think she is a phenomenal athlete. I think that she got this wrong. This was the wrong way to go about her transitioning into the next phase of her life. Serena is not the same player that she was 4 or 5 years ago. Maybe let's say 4 or 5 years ago. She's definitely not the same player. And I don't care who you are, female, male, whatever you want to say, there comes a certain point when you can't perform at the level that you did, you know, when you were younger. And if you want to preserve yourself and perform for however long extended, and she's going to the point much longer than most people have, then you have to have that same dedication. And there comes a point in time for everyone to say, I'm going to move on. I'm going to pursue my other interests. And this to me was not a gender issue for Serena Williams. And I don't mean to say this at 41 years old. This was, I am not the same player that I was 5 years ago. I'm not as dedicated physically as I was 5 years ago. But she won when she was pregnant. Okay. So that's how I feel. I don't think she needed to involve gender in this. Go ahead, Mom. Involve.
I totally agree with your sentiments. I mean, you know, Serena, you know, for the most part, you are overwhelmingly respected and admired for your talents and your commitment and longevity. Serena, don't talk to your fans and the public at large as if we are foolish. You have been playing over 20 some odd years. You've won more titles.
25, 26 years.
Right. You've won more titles than almost anyone on the planet. It goes without saying that you are the GOAT. What do you mean you have to give up your career? You're giving up your career because time and tide wait for no man. You're not giving up your career because you have a uterus, ovaries, and whatever. You're not giving up your career because you're a female. You're not giving up your career because you have a child. You made your career decision years ago when you were a teenager, and you pursued that career, and you've stayed in that career for many years. Now, this is the end of it. Do not speak to the public as if you think that we are too foolish to understand that that's not really what's going on. You're 41 years old, so now you're out of professional tennis, or you're retiring, as is appropriate. You've been up there longer than anybody.
Yeah, there's nobody else anywhere near close to what she's done.
So I don't know what
in the modern era.
So why are you talking to your public like that? You are disrespecting us by lying to us. You're not delusional. You know better than what you're saying. You know you're not the same player. You don't even come into it with the same commitment and attitude. Guess what? That's appropriate. You've been doing it a lot of years. You didn't give up your career in your 20-something to go say, I'm going to go have babies. You've been playing since you had a baby. You know, so just as you said, Serena, stop. Don't talk to the public like that. We respect you. Don't lie to us. Don't talk to us like we're foolish. And, okay? Because it only makes you look foolish. Okay. Time and tide wait for no man. It is time for you to retire. You're not committed. You don't even maintain your weight, which I already got you with that a while ago. Okay, we won't even revisit that. You don't even come into it looking fit. You don't even meet the same weight standard as you used to. You are no longer committed to it. You are no longer playing at that level. And since you are the GOAT, retire as the GOAT and forget it.
Well, here's another thing that I wanted to mention, Ma. You know, everybody always uses Tom Brady as the standard because Tom Brady is 45 years old. So he's, you know, 4 years older than Serena.
Yes.
He has had to transition. Absolutely. However, Tom Brady is known to always be in, you know, tip-top shape. And just he has given up a lot and dedicated a lot to his career. But then we look at another person who has made a huge impact in sports, and we look at Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter did not have a family until he was after 40. And he's a man.
Absolutely.
He decided that this is what he wanted to do. He knew physically he couldn't do it the same way. He knew that if he was going to, you know, He knew it was time. He felt it was time.
And Serena, it's up to you whenever you want to retire or not, but don't, you know, attempt to talk to the public as if we don't understand. Like I said, time and tide wait for no man.
Michael Jordan. How old was Michael Jordan when he retired? I don't think he was 41.
I don't know. Well, whatever the situation is, Serena, you're not retiring because anything to do with your gender. Okay. Right. So don't talk to us like that because that's not true. And you know that it's not true. And for you to do an interview, that makes it seem as if you're just going to come and start making up a whole bunch of ridiculous stories when you're talking to us. When I say us, I mean your fans, the public. Respect yourself and respect us enough to be honest when you come and speak to us about something and just say you showed up fat, out of shape, and got knocked out in the first round. The last time you made a public appearance, okay? All right? That had nothing to do with whether you have a penis or a vagina, okay? That was you, Serena. That was your lack of commitment and lack of preparedness for the game, okay? Now, so just go ahead. If you don't want to do the work to get yourself in shape, even if you couldn't play up to the standard you used to, you don't even want to get in shape. If you don't want to do that, then you need to retire. And we all love and embrace you and respect your decision. But don't come talking about, oh, if I was a man. You know, that has nothing to do with it. And you knew you weren't a man when you started. How many years ago? I don't think you've ever been a man. So why is it a man?
Well, she's not ever been a man.
Right. You've never been a man. So what is this whole conversation about man? And you've been playing and beating people and kicking butt and taking numbers and you never were a man. So don't bring that in here now, okay? Don't play yourself and don't insult the intelligence of your fans.
Well, I will say that Serena is the GOAT and I wish her well. I'm going to watch her at the US Open and, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But Serena, you don't need to go there. Okay. So, Ma, Kenya Barris, who is the creator of Black-ish, is set to write and direct the reimagining of The Wizard of Oz, which is completely separate from New Line Cinema's previously announced retelling of Wizard of Oz that's directed by, I think her name is Nicole Castle. Both were based on the wonderful Wizard of Oz book by Frank Baum. I guess they forgot about The Wiz in 1978 that starred Diana Ross and Michael Jackson. So, Ma, do you think that we need another Wizard of Oz?
No. We've already had a couple too many. It's been on Broadway. We've had the Black version, the white version, the this, the that, and that's enough. Why can't people reimagine a whole new story?
Right.
Why is it that they have to keep on and on and on and on and on and on and on? To me, that's just lazy. That's just milking it. You know, really, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Now, I'm not here for it. No. Kenya Barris, you're a very talented person. You're a very talented brother. And come on, man. Shake your bag of tricks and come up with something else. I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear about that. No.
I'm feeling you on that.
A whole new world. Remember Aladdin, a whole new world. It's a whole new world, Kenya Barris. And you know better than that. You know, to me, you're just going for, you know, see if you could milk whatever for a few dollars. whoever's, you know, whoever you, will go for it. I'm not feeling it. No.
You know, he's doing a remake of White Men Can't Jump starring Jack Harlow, the white rapper. I don't know who the Wesley Snipes character is going to be.
That's not quite as bad, because to my knowledge, it hasn't been made. It's only been made once.
Yeah.
So, but when you start making things three times, four times, five times, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know. So, and
it's just silly. It's just silly.
That has a little thing, but you know, but Kenya, come on. Okay. You know, just don't, you know, come on. We want to see some originality from you. Okay. People dog out Tyler Perry, but I'd be damned if his stuff is not original. I'd be damned.
No. There's something. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Nah. Come on. You know. Mm-mm.
Why is Tyler Perry in this conversation?
I'm just saying. Whatever he comes out with is from Tyler Perry's head, not Tom, Dick, and Harry's head.
Well, that is 100% true.
Well, yeah, that's right. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Okay. So in WTF news, I'm not going to go all into Adam Neumann, Ma. And Adam Neumann has just received like $350 million for his new residential venture from a very reputable venture capitalist in Silicon Valley. We're not going to talk about that, how so many people who deserve that capital don't get an opportunity, and a person who has lost billions of dollars gets that opportunity again. But I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to move on to Bryce Dallas Howard. And you know who Bryce Dallas Howard is, right, Ma?
I don't remember.
Ron Howard's daughter.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, so what? I mean, you act like she's something that's huge in my world.
Thank you. Good. Thank you. No, that's, here we go.
Yeah.
So Ron Howard's daughter, now Bryce Dallas Howard.
You know, I know Ron now, Ron the man Howard. That's something different.
All right. Claims she got the short end of the stick for the Jurassic World trilogy, making far less than Chris Pratt, your good friend, despite being co-leads. But that didn't stop him from making sure that she got equal pay outside their film contract. In initial reports back in 2018, it showed that Chris took home $10 million and Bryce $8 million. According to Bryce, she was actually paid far less than the $8 million that they reported. Bryce says that she was at a great disadvantage back in 2014 when negotiations began for the blockbuster series, saying, unfortunately, you have to sign up for three movies, and so your deals are set. Chris, however, was a bigger star than Bryce at the beginning of the trilogy, having already starred in Guardians of the Galaxy. But she claims that Chris fought for her outside their three-movie deal, telling her he'll handle the negotiations for her when it came to things like spinoff games or theme park rides, making sure they both walked away with equal pay. Bryce says she loves the guy for doing that for her, noting she's been paid more for these kind of things than she ever was for the movie. So I have two things for you, Ma, besides this being WTF. Number one, who cares about how much Bryce Dallas Howard is getting paid?
I'm glad you said it. Okay, go.
And number two, as much as we have our issues with Chris Pratt, who's the biggest star? Who even knew? I forgot that Bryce Dallas Howard was in the Jurassic Park movies.
Listen.
And her father is Ron Howard.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, it's a matter of indifference, okay? About whatever with either one of them, okay? It's just rich people fighting over being richer,
right?
Okay? And that's all I have to say. Chris Pratt, I know from, what was it, Parks and Rec or whatever the hell he's in.
Yeah.
I know him more for that and being married to Anna Faris than anything, you know. And then after he lost a chunk of weight, they start to put him in leading role things. But, you know, that's it. And then her, I don't even know who the hell she was until you said, oh, Ron's, Howard's daughter. And I remembered she had some, you know, nondescript roles in something. I don't even know what the hell it was. Of course, I know Ron Howard for years since he was Opie, you know, But that's it. Nothing. Just nothing. Nothing. It's a matter of indifference whether she got this or that. She's already filthy rich, was born filthy, and going to be filthy, and I don't know nothing.
It was very annoying.
Talking about this, I can't even believe.
I'm talking about it because on social media, in particular Twitter, people were looking at her like, "Who are you?
Right?
Oh, you're Ron Howard's daughter. Right. You should be happy you get anything."
Those are my sentiments exactly. Right? You're Richie Cunningham, Opie, and then Ron the Man Howard. Now, I give all due respect to Ron Howard. Oh, yeah. I love Ron Howard.
And he's directed so many different films.
But the daughter, but you know, oh yeah.
Beautiful, you know, Ron, a Beautiful Mind, Arrested Development, Cinderella Man, yeah, okay, Da Vinci Code. For those who don't know.
But we all got who Ron Howard is. But okay. As far as her, she, you know, come on, man. You just skating on that, you hit, that's your father. Right. Get the hell out of here. All right, keep it moving, Pay.
Please. Okay, we have some good news, and this segment is about mending friendships. So,
good. Let me hear about that.
So, 50 Cent and Floyd Mayweather have squashed their longtime beef. Remember they were really.
I just love 50. I know he does terrible things sometimes, but I just love 50.
They were really tight.
He's about his business. He's gonna do what needs to be done to keep it going. Yeah.
Well, they were really tight up until 2012 when the two had a very public beef regarding 50's Money Team boxing promotion. And you know, there were some lovely words there. 50 challenged Floyd to a reading challenge for Floyd Mayweather to read one page of a Harry Potter book to prove that he could actually read. Anyway, now everything is all good, and Mayweather will be attending 50's Tycoon Weekend comedy event that is actually in Houston. And Ma, we didn't get an invite. I'm really offended.
Now, you know what? They didn't invite us. We're going to have to call 50.
Yeah, because that's not right.
He's not that busy. He could have had his people contact us.
Oh, for sure. Not good at all. Okay, Ma, any thoughts on that? Or just all that's good wonderful. And happiness?
I'm just going to say that's wonderful. I just love it that, you know, two prosperous, hardworking, industrious, whatever, you know, men, young Black men, or relatively young Black men, or, you know, our friends and doing their thing and working together. I love that, whatever. Love and happiness, you know, love makes the world go round. What the world needs now is love, on and on and on. I'm happy. Good. Okay. I'm glad they made up.
Okay. And finally, Derek Jeter and A-Rod have mended their relationship. Jeter and Rodriguez were close friends early on in their respective careers until Rodriguez was asked to discuss his friend during a 2001 interview with Esquire, where he kind of suggested that Jeter's success had more to do with the team's talent. Rodriguez, who had just left the Seattle Mariners and signed a $252 million contract with the Texas Rangers, making him at the time the highest paid athlete in the world, began by claiming that there was no rivalry between the pair and that if anything, he was Jeter's biggest fan and vice versa. All good. However, Rodriguez then went on to insinuate that Jeter's success may have been due to his teammates, with the baseball player adding, Jeter's being blessed with great talent around him. He's never had to lead. He can just go and play and have fun. And he hits second. That's totally different than third and fourth in a lineup. You never say, don't let Jeter beat you. He's never your concern. So Derek Jeter didn't take too kindly to that. And their relationship was definitely strained. And of course, there was some other stuff that came around Jeter getting, you know, renegotiating a new contract, blah, blah, blah. So to make a long story short, Ma, they have reunited and they are friends again. So what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that's wonderful. I'm all about the making up, okay? You know it. My answer already. I'm all about the kiss and make up, hug and make up, shake hands and make up, let's have a cocktail together and make up. I'm all about the making up. That's how we move forward when we make up. Okay. When we fight, it's 99%, 99.9% to our mutual detriment. I love it when we make up. When I say we, I mean all of us. When we make up as a society, as a people, you know, as a species, I love it when we make up.
I think. Oh, go ahead,
sweetie. No, that's good. And I know there was the competitive thing going on and this and that. And A-Rod was a little bit bad. You know, mm-hmm. Derek Jeter was more clean cut. You know, he was open about his playboy ways. He didn't commit to anybody until he, you know, retired and decided he was going to go ahead and get married, you know. But while he wanted to hang out and do what he wanted to do, that's what he did. You know, he handled his handle very well publicly. He really did. Whereas, and he, you know, was the leader of men. He was a captain. He was all that, you know, and he was very disciplined, mm-hmm. you know, in that regard. You know, I'm sure he has his faults and everything. Well, he was kind of a womanizer, but he didn't commit to anybody. Whereas A-Rod was married and had more girlfriends than time with the wife.
We don't know that Derek Jeter was really a womanizer. That was a rumor. We don't really know. Well, he was just being single.
Okay. Well, I saw a video of him when he was married and his wife was going in the hotel to bust him that he was coming out of with a woman.
You mean A-Rod?
I mean A-Rod. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean A-Rod. Who did I say?
Derek Jeter? You said Derek Jeter.
I mean Derek Jeter was a playboy, like a playboy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A bachelor. I don't mean a bad womanizer in a bad way. You know, I mean, yeah, swag, you know. But A-Rod was a little bit, I think he was a little shaky with some of his commitments, you know. So all I'm going to say is this. And then we have some questions about his performance-enhancing drug use. I'm sure it was a rumor. Sure, he didn't really do it, but it was out there.
There was no questions about it. He admitted to it.
Yeah, you know, I know. I'm only making light of it. So, you know, he had a couple of things going on. And that, to me, means that you were having some, you know, some questions about your ability. Even though you're talking all that smack, you somehow felt that you needed to enhance your performance with illegal drugs, okay? And it's not what you say, it's what you do. You may have thought you were so good, but something happened. Why did you feel the need to change?
Well, I'm not going in there with that. People know.
No, you're not, but I am. I'm going in there with
that. Well, I'm saying
that publicly, A-Rod had more issues than Derek Jeter. That's all I'm saying. Publicly. Yes. You know, and they
had a different upbringing, all types of things. So
yeah, and they had a different mindset. Everything was different, right? Derek Jeter had an intact biracial family, you know, and what's the name was more in DR impoverished kind of thing. You know, I got it. I got the whole background and all that, but they're different human beings, and that's fine. And I'm glad they came together. I'm glad whatever all the dust and fuss was about. And I think, I don't know how jealous Derek Jeter was of A-Rod, but I can tell you almost for certainty, A-Rod was jealous of Derek Jeter, even if he did have more natural talent, because of who Derek Jeter was and how he handled himself and how people respect
him. Well, Ma, I already know that.
Just not for you. I'm talking to the audience.
No, but I'm just saying. But okay.
Oh boy. Okay.
Well, good. No, anyway, Ma, I agree with what you're saying.
You know far more about sports than me, period.
I didn't mean it like that.
I'm just telling you my perception.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And my assessment.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in trouble. Just letting you know. Okay. Once I get off this podcast, I'll be in trouble.
No, you're not in any trouble. But you asked me the question and I know I talk a lot, but daughter, I'm just giving you the way I see it, in my opinion, from my perspective, you know. And I think that's what happened. And I think that's why A-Rod was this yang, running his mouth and carrying on and everything, because you will note that it's always A-Rod who initiated all this negativity. You know, it was always A-Rod. He was always really offensive.
I think that in a relationship, there's two people and there's, you know, two people to blame. I do believe that, you know, A-Rod may have initiated things. And I think that the way that Derek Jeter took them, you know, he was very stubborn.
How many ways can you take it if people are maligning you?
Well, I mean, they were in their, 20s, you know, mid early 20s, whatever. Anyway, Ma, I agree with what you're saying. I think it had to do, I think having a lot of money. I think, you know, egos come in the way. And I think that as you get older and you have a family of your own, you start to think about and look at what's important in life.
Are
and
we
you
going can into really the relationship reflect. Dynamics or are we just going into what they presented to the public?
Well, I'm telling you what they presented.
If you're asking me if I'm happy that they made up, my answer is yes. I'm very happy.
But I'm saying that I know that Derek Jeter now is married and has three children, and he probably looks at life differently than he did 21 years ago. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm going to say that I would imagine that they both have grown and matured.
Of course.
And all this is all to say, I don't know about what happened in the ensuing years, but I know that A-Rod was very public with his big mouth and his comments. And I don't know what Derek Jeter's response was. I don't know who reached out to whom. I don't know what happened in the following years. All I know is that I'm happy that they made up now publicly.
I agree with you. We can, you know, end it or whatever. But Derek Jeter has always been a person who didn't start fights. But Derek Jeter is the person who would hold a grudge.
That's exactly my point.
But he would hold a grudge. And he admitted this.
That's not holding a grudge. To me, that's not holding a grudge. If you are attacking me in multiple occasions, I'm just protecting myself. I'm just stepping back. How do you know that A-Rod reached out to him? What do you mean holding a grudge?
Because they played with each other, Ma. They played with each other for years.
And how do you know he held a grudge? And what was the physical?
I know that Derek Jeter feels some type of way about it. If you would have, if you would have watched the captain,
how do you know that
like I did, if you would have watched the captain, then you would have seen
some of the captain.
I watched all
of it. And at no point did I hear him say, I held a grudge.
No, but that's how he didn't
say that.
Okay. But all right. Anyway, right.
Glad that they're just like it's mine that A-Rod started the whole crap. Right.
Anyway, I'm glad they are back as friends.
All jokes aside, I'm happy to see them kiss and make up. Okay. That's how I feel.
I didn't see all that, but okay.
That's metaphorically. Okay. I know that. Okay. Metaphorically.
Next.
Okay.
Let's go to our final segment. Dear Naomi, Naomi knows best. Dear Naomi, my mother-in-law.
You don't want to answer this, Paige. You give your response and I'll give mine. And let's give them separately. Okay.
What?
Let you give your
dear Naomi
rather than for us to debate each other, okay? No, you give your assessment and I give what do you mean, Ma? Call me Miss Naomi.
Dear Naomi, my mother-in-law and I have never had the closest relationship, but when we see each other, we are friendly. I recently found out I'm pregnant with my first child, but I would like to keep it private until I'm further along. My husband and I both agreed. We also decided to tighten up our budget for the next 6 to 7 months to plan for our baby's arrival. When my mother-in-law came to me asking to borrow $5,000, we have the money in our savings account and I would like to give it to her.
It's for the baby.
But she doesn't want me to tell her son, my husband, and it would be difficult to cover that up, to cover $5,000 missing from our joint account. I can make up a lie to my husband, but I'm afraid it will hurt our marriage. But my husband always wanted me to bond with my mother-in-law. What should I do?
Is she serious? A mother-in-law, even if she gets along with the mother-in-law, has no business coming to her, asking her to keep something from the son. in that amount. What is it that she wants to do with $5,000 that she thinks she needs to hide from the sun? And I'm quite sure that is their joint money. I don't think
that's what she said.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. When I say joint money, I don't mean the account has a joint name on it. I mean that their money, their actual cash is commingled, you know. And I don't think the mother-in-law is right. I think she's putting her in a very bad position. And I think that is very unfair of her to come to, what is she in trouble with loan sharks? I mean, what is she coming to her daughter-in-law asking or something like that? The answer is no. And I would go immediately and tell my husband. And I don't know whatever else response you're looking for, but that's ridiculous. No, the mother-in-law is wrong. Does the mother-in-law think that she is she selling her affection? Like, if you do this for me, daughter-in-law, we'll get along from here on. You know, I mean, just what is the mother-in-law thinking?
I don't know. It really just seems unimaginable. Like, why would you hide that from your husband? That's his mother. Whatever's going on, like right. I would go and say, like, I don't know what's going on with your mom, but she came to, you know, me asking for money and not to tell you. Is everything okay? Like, that would just be my, you know, initial response.
Why do you need this amount of money? And right. Why is it hidden? Okay. Right. Why is it hidden? Are you going on a vacation? Are you buying a fur coat? Are you buying an expensive bag? I mean, what are you doing? Why do you need this amount of money? And if it's a legitimate reason, and it's a serious and responsible reason, why are you asking me to hide it from my husband, who is your son?
Right.
You know, right. And I won't even get into the thing about paying it back, because see, I'm not going there with it. I'm going to have a full discussion with my husband. Once again, your son.
Right.
You're going to have a full discussion and full disclosure about this conversation that I had with you.
Right. And that just seems real strange.
And did you know that you and I are not Ace Boon Coon? So I'm going to go tell my husband, your son, anyway. You know, no matter what it is, I'm going to share that. So I'm not really sure. And then now you're scaring me. Are you that desperate? Are you in serious trouble? In which case, your son needs to know that as well. You know, so, I mean, because that's what it's making me think. It's making me think there's some kind of problem. Making me think maybe you got gambling debts. Or wait a minute. Oh, are you trying to get a man and you getting some cosmetic surgery?
But they didn't say whether or not she is still married. No one, we didn't even get that part. But that would be
put it out there because I don't know that. Okay. You know what I mean? That's why I put it out there, because I don't know what her status is.
Well, whatever the status is, I think it's a good idea to go tell your husband so that you don't have any problems in your marriage.
Yeah, there you go. I would tell my husband immediately. And then if it's something that is really serious, dire, or this or that, that's another story. It could be life altering. I don't know. You know, that's a whole nother story. But it sounds like to me, it might just be a bunch of BS that you don't think anybody is going to agree with loaning you $5,000 for. Because if you thought it was a legitimate reason, why would you be hiding it? You know, so, sorry, moms. Sorry, mother-in-law, but you talking out the side of your face now. Nope.
Okay. Well, I think that's about all for today, Ma. Is there anything that you want to say to anybody out there?
Yes.
Yes,
I want to tell everyone to take care of yourselves, use sunscreen, and continue to enjoy your summer. It's moving rapidly. Before you know it, it'll be Labor Day. Okay? Yeah. Take care of yourself. Be appropriate in terms of your, what is this, monkeypox and all these stuff going on.
Yeah.
And just take care of yourself, until we meet again.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also at All Things Peju. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel, All Things Peju, guys, and also to subscribe, to like, to comment, to rate us. We love it. We need it. We appreciate it. And I think that's about it, guys.
All right. Thank you. Love. Bye.